today. Our next speaker is Dr. Persharon Dixon. She's the medical director of the Mississippi Gulf Coast Children's Health Project, a mobile medical program that is a collaboration between Children's Health Fund of New York and the Coastal Family Health Center in Biloxi, Mississippi. She's an advocate for the health care concerns of Gulf Coast children at local, state, and national levels. Dr. Dixon graduated from Morehouse School of Medicine and completed her pediatrics residency at Emory University School of Medicine. Next month, she completes her MBA degree at the University of Tennessee at Knoxville. And one other note, Dr. Dixon moved from a safe, unaffected place with her family to Mississippi to practice medicine after Katrina. So, yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much, Erin. Okay. Well, my purpose today is to share with you a plausible way of providing health care services for at-risk children and their families after major disasters. You know, the history has shown us that after major disasters, there's always a big change in the systems that exist in those communities, such that everything is broken, everything is apart, and it's very much like a jigsaw puzzle. And we're all trying to scammer together to find out how those pieces fit together now. And of course, if you've ever done a jigsaw puzzle, you know that there's always a major piece missing. And you wish you could find something that you could put in its place, that you could just change the shape. Research shows us that healthcare, the healthcare infrastructure, is one of the main pieces that it's broken or displaced after major disasters. And what I am proposing is that mobile health care after a major disaster is that piece that can be molded to fit in a community at that time. And it can be used for long-term or short-term care. So what we will discuss today is a little bit of the public health impact of major disasters, which you have heard some of that already. I will share with you the Children's Health Fund's response after Hurricane Katrina, and the impact that mobile medical services have made in the Gulf. I will talk specifically about our program, the Mississippi Gulf Coast Children's Health Project, and the current status in the Gulf and what that means for the people we now call the newly poor. As it relates to the public health impact, you know, pretty much we know that these four areas are where we see the greatest impact, in housing, and certainly in transportation, and in the care, and specifically I have here the care of the disabled, but we certainly know that the elderly and children are left out of disaster preparedness plans. The other picture I have there is of one of Coastal Family Health Center's healthcare sites. We had 11 sites prior to Hurricane Katrina, and after Hurricane Katrina, only four were in existence. So that gives you some idea of the impact of a disaster on healthcare sites. Just to tell you a little bit about the Children's Health Fund, which is how I came to Mississippi, it is a national network of 22 mobile medical programs across the United States. And we provide medical, mental, and in some cases, dental health services to the most at-risk children in the country. We do this regardless of children's the family's ability to pay, and we do it through state-of-the-art mobile medical services. The Children's Health Fund has responded to disasters. To disasters since Hurricane Andrew, actually, was their first time responding, and then again with 9/11. And it was with Hurricanes Katrina and Rita that they decided to form an actual division of the Children's Health Fund that would specifically target post-disaster situations, and it's called the Operation Assist Division. It was a unique and a profound step to make in that the founder, Dr. Erwin Redliner, realized, as do we all, that we will continue to have major disasters on U.S. soil whether they be man-made or they be natural disasters. And so through Operation Assist now, we have the ability to put clinical services in place, public health research, which David Abramson is a part of that, and political advocacy. So the arrival of the Children's Health Fund came pretty quickly. Within 5 days of Hurricane Katrina, they were on the ground with mobile health units, providing urgent care and emergent care for families. And they did this for over 4 months in Mississippi, as well as New Orleans and in Texas. There were volunteers from within the network, from 17 programs, to keep those services going. The picture I'm showing you here, you know, it kind of looks nice, and you see the children with their backpacks, but that is actually a FEMA park in Mississippi, a little bit different from what you saw in David's pictures, because this one is on a property that usually housed RVs for fun and games, but now it was housing at this time 900 trailers. And what was really unique about this is that it was 45 miles away from the nearest grocery store, about 60 miles away from the nearest gas station. And of the folks who lived on the property, maybe one-third had transportation. And they complained that they couldn't go anywhere because they had no money to put gas into their vehicles. And so certainly there was no way for these families to have health care access. And so being able to bring the mobile van there was certainly a wonderful thing for these families. And so I wanted to share a little bit of the impact of the Children's Health Fund's Operation Assist Division over this time period. We have seen a total of 40,000 patient encounters since September of 2005 up through June of 2007. And we have done this at approximately 38 different sites in these four states. Particularly, we have established 3 permanent direct service projects, one of which is the Mississippi Gulf Coast Children's Health Project, and then the programs in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And these programs were thought to be needed given the infrastructure, or the healthcare infrastructure, prior to Hurricane Katrina in both Louisiana and Mississippi. Between the 3 projects, we have seen almost 20,000 patient encounters in the last 6 months. So you see that the need continues far past the initial impact of a disaster. And so we were thought to be an optimal solution for the broken healthcare infrastructure in Mississippi. And as the Children's Health Fund usually does, they found an affiliate in Mississippi, and we are affiliated with the Coastal Family Health Center. There are other institutions across the U.S. that are affiliated with other types of institutions, like the academic institutions. We became a permanent program in December of 2005, which is when I came on board and decided to make Mississippi my home. And we target the same groups of children that the programs do across the United States, and that is low-income families, adolescents, and young adults. Now, I want you to look at this slide because I want you to know what kind of services can be done aboard a mobile medical unit. I believe that that is probably one of the biggest challenges that I've found since being in Mississippi, is convincing families that all of this can be done while mobile. We have 2 mobile medical programs there, or 2 mobile medical units. One, a community support and resiliency program, and aboard that unit, I have all master's level or doctorate degreed staff. And on our medical mobile unit, we have myself and a nurse practitioner, a nurse and a social worker who also does case management. We also have, in addition, a health educator who goes out into the community and into the schools. So we are truly giving the medical model that the American Academy of Pediatrics wants us all to do, which is to give comprehensive care that includes both medical and mental, as well as social care. I don't believe that in my whole lifetime of being a pediatrician that I've ever worked in an institution where all of these services can be provided. And it is has been one of the most thrilling things for me because these services are greatly needed, especially after a disaster. The ongoing concerns in the Gulf right now, 22 months later, are the increased mental health concerns. You know, along the Gulf, there are still about 30,000 residents in FEMA trailers. Thousands of families are still displaced. Even if they are not in a trailer, they are living with other people. They are living with friends. They are living with grandparents. We have 100,000 kids in Mississippi alone who are eligible but not enrolled for Medicaid and CHIPS. And certainly the children of the Gulf Coast feed into that number. Some of this is contributed to that population I talked about, the newly poor, who have no idea how to access these programs. And then others who, as they moved away from their homes, when they receive a letter that says, you need to enroll again, the letter went to the home where they used to live. And so they're disenrolled. And when they go to re-enroll, they find out they have to have a birth certificate, which is in Cuba, as my project manager likes to say. Everything is in the water going to Cuba. And so it creates yet another gap in service unless you have something like we have with the mobile medical programs that allow you to come regardless of your ability to pay. A big growing population for us is our new grandparents. These children were dropped off at grandma's, and while the parents go and try to get their lives back together post-Hurricane Katrina, and 22 months later, they're still with their grandparents. We have some grandparents who are just now becoming the parent because their children are facing other difficulties with drug abuse and return back and forth to jail systems. And so this has become a big problem when you have a 76-year-old who herself is on a fixed income trying to raise now an 8 and 10-year-old who she is being told are out of control at school and need to be on medication. We are looking at the legislation there, and fortunately, just in July, there has been new legislation in Mississippi that is going to allow for extra funding for these grandparents. However, the money has not been allocated yet. So when we get to that, you know, we hope it happens soon. The other issue is hospital and medical office closings. As recently as last week, I will say it started 2 weeks ago, where there was a news flash that the emergency room at one of the local hospitals was closing. And then last week, the hospital closed. And so it was unexpected, now 350 folks looking for employment. But as they noted, that the landscape has changed, and so the population that they usually saw is not there anymore. And they're not there because the housing is still a major problem. We try to find locations where medical offices are no longer there. There have been several physicians who have not been able to recover, and their practices no longer exist. And so there are large groups of children as well as adults who are without a medical home or access. So the areas of greatest concern post-disaster, we all know that initially you need urgent medical care and community support, but as Eric pointed out, and David as well, it's a continuum. There's no clear-cut break in when certain services are needed. We have found that mental health support goes on, the need for that, and we are working fervently to put in place a telehealth program so that we can provide some psychiatric support for the children of the Gulf Coast. And again, it goes to the idea that mobile medical programs can conform and shape to fit the needs of the community. We continue to have large case management concerns, and a big piece of this is advocacy on behalf of the children and families of the Gulf Coast when the media attention has disappeared. The Children's and Family Health Study that Dr. Abramson conducted certainly corroborates what we have seen, that chronic diseases are going untreated, mental health illnesses are on the rise, and the safety nets for the vulnerable populations no longer exist. And his study revealed this at the 12-month mark, and I can assure you that not much has changed. Harvard Medical School has a Katrina advisory group run by Dr. Ronald Kiesler, and this was just in Sunday's Sun Herald, where he said undetermined stress and or vulnerability factors present among people from the areas other than Metro New Orleans affected by Katrina that should lead policymakers to focus attention on the needs of these people. And what he was referring to further in that article is that the mental health concerns on the Gulf are at an all-time crisis, a true public health crisis. And so again, 22 months later, mental health concerns are at a peak in the Gulf. So the implications for the citizens there are that there is increased chronic disease mismanagement impacting the healthcare system there. I have children who are visiting on board for an urgent care visit when they should have been getting preventative care, especially when they have insulin-dependent diabetes and they have chronic asthma. We are seeing soaring mental health concerns, and it is a great distress to my mental health team who feel like that they are not able to impact these children the way they should, because if they cannot impact the lives of their parents, then there is not a lot of change for the children. There's limited access, which translates into decreased care, and of course continuity of care is hampered. And this translates into decreased school and work performance, which has a universal impact on the society itself. So we've kind of talked about all the things that I think make mobile medical services an important and viable, really optimal solution post-disasters. We provide comprehensive care, quality care, the continuity that families need, and it's consistent. I think families have seen volunteers come in and out. They have seen tent, what they call the tent clinics, and certainly those services were needed, but as they try to find stability in the community as it exists, it certainly helps to have a program like ours where they can always call us. We are eliminating the problem of access, and certainly socioeconomic status is of no regard, which makes it quite easy for these families to get the care that they need. And we are impacting that, or actually the piece that was missing, causing the disconnect in the system. And so